On today, Associate Pastor Julian Watkins reminds us of our childhood memories playing outdoors. In many cases, we were permitted to go inside to get a Band-Aid, to use the bathroom, or to go to bed. But frustrated with our consistently going back and forth inside and outside, our parents often asked the question, are you in or out? In Romans, the 6th chapter, verses 1 through 2, Paul asks and answers a similar question regarding our decision to either live for Christ or reject him. Let's listen to part 12 of the series, Show and Tell. Welcome to Precepts, a podcast sermon ministry of New Life Community Church, located in Pontiac, Michigan. Our church's vision is proclaiming Christ and equipping saints in the bond of fellowship. During each podcast series, Pastor Elder Jerry Seawright addresses biblical and doctrinal topics impacting Christians' daily living. Feel free to visit the media section of our website at www.nlccpontiac.org to download as well as take sermon notes during the podcast.
We should all be about lifting the name of Jesus on high. No matter what situation or circumstance we find ourselves in, it's always a good time to lift Jesus up and lift him high. And I would say in most cases when things are not going the way that you want them to go, that's the best time to lift his name on high, because that is the way that you will get the victory. We thank the Lord for being here today. We thank the Lord for giving us health and strength, breath and life. We thank you all for being here this morning, and I know that you thank God as well, because we know that it was not your alarm clock that got you up this morning, but it was God every single day who gets you up. This time I would just ask, before we begin, to go ahead and open up with a word of prayer. Bow your heads with me in agreement. Dear kind and gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you once again, Lord, for this another opportunity that you've given us to break bread, Lord God, to be used, Lord God, as a vessel of righteousness, as a vessel, Lord God, of peace, a vessel of salvation. Lord God, I'm asking right now in the name of Jesus that you continue, Lord, to give us strength, Lord God. Keep us, Lord God. We ask right now that you bless this word as it goes forth, that it would accomplish that which you purposed, that it would not return void. We ask that you bless the hearers of your word, each and every one of us, that we not just be merely hearers, but doers also. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we ask, Lord, we pray, and we thank you. Amen. You may be seated at this time. I have about 1 minute left to say good morning. Is this going to be good afternoon in about 1 minute? Good morning to everyone. Good morning to all the saints of God, all the friends, all of those who are in the congregation today who found their way here. On today, I am going to be coming from the book of Romans, chapter 6, touching on various portions of Romans, chapter 6, as well as some other passages along the way. We'll try to do that as expeditiously as possible. Our title today is In or Out? In or out? You decide. In or out? And this is in keeping with this theme of showing and telling. Before we can tell anything to anybody and have any credibility, we got to show them something first. Is that right? If we want to be an effective witness, if we want to be an effective evangelist, if we want for people to take us seriously and take our faith seriously and take Jesus seriously, take salvation seriously, take God seriously, the Holy Spirit seriously, the implications of life and death, mortality, and eternity. If we want them to take all those things seriously, we should first show some shine. Is that right? We should show that we are the redeemed of the Lord and that having a relationship with Jesus does make a difference. When I was a kid during the summer, along with my cousins and my friends, it would be, and I have to remind you, this was back in the 70s and the 80s. You imagine that, back in the 70s and the 80s? Playing outside with friends, with family members, cousins and such. We oftentimes would be left under the watchful eye of babysitters and grandparents and aunts and uncles and whoever might be left with the responsibility of watching over us, but undoubtedly we would be at someone's house. And we would have the option of staying in the house or going outside. Most times, it was go outside. It was go outside. And you would have kids that would try to go in the house before it was time to go in the house. And you would always hear from that person who was watching you, in or out. In or out. Right? Anybody heard that before? You keep letting these flies in the house. You need to make up your mind, in or out. Huh? Now, there was only a few reasons why you should be going in the house at any given time. And they all start with a B, just so you can remember those. It was bathroom, all right, Band-Aid, or bedtime. That's it. You had no other reason to go in the house unless you had to go to the bathroom, you was bleeding and needed a Band-Aid, right? Because the implication was as soon as you got that Band-Aid, guess where you were going? Right back outside. The only other reason would be bedtime. And that was signified by the street lights that started to buzz first, and you know it was close then. And then after the street lights came on, you knew that it was time for you to be in the house. That was it. Now, on occasion, you might need to get a drink of water. And if you had to get a drink of water, you would have to plan that drink of water for when you went in to go to the bathroom. And it wasn't no getting a whole bunch of different cups every time you walked in the house. It was go in the house, go to the bathroom, wash your hands, cup your hand up under the sink, grab a quick drink, and then back outside. Because you had to make up your mind, would it be in or out? Now, sometimes a question would be asked in a place where you thought it was neutral, right? These kids, you always want to test the borders, right? You say, okay, I got an answer for you. I'm not going to be in, but I'm not going to be exactly out, and I'm going to be standing right here in this doorway. But that's exactly the place where they did not want you to be standing, because they didn't want the air from the AC going out, and they didn't want the flies and the heat from outside coming in. So you had to make a choice. You could not stand there in the doorway with the screen halfway open. You had to be in or you had to be out. That's right. Choose ye this day. Will you be in or will you be out? They wanted us to make a choice and then what? Decide and stick with it. There wasn't no vacillating. We didn't even know what vacillating meant back then. You had to make up your mind and stick with it. Now, that wouldn't work too well today, because if you give a kid the option of staying in or going out, you know what they're going to bet? I'm staying in, right? You ain't saying nothing but a word. I didn't want to go out there no way. I might have to move and do something, right? I might bust a sweat, right? I ain't trying to do all of that. I'm quite comfortable, thank you, right here inside of this climate-controlled house that we live in, right? Not to mention the fact that back in my day, there was not 3,000 channels on cable, right? Because there wasn't no cable, right? There wasn't no HDTV, there wasn't no Netflix and Hulu and high-res video game systems, right, on every TV. We didn't have all of that, you know? We had black and white TV with 2, 4, 7, channel 20, 56 on a good day, and if you had a real good antenna, you could get 62, right? But that was only if you had an antenna that had just enough aluminum foil on it to get a signal, right? That's what you had, and it was all black and white. Now, we didn't want to be in the house during the daytime. Why? Because it wasn't nothing on but Wheel of Fortune, Price is Right, and a whole bunch of soap operas, right, that we had no interest in, right, as the world turns, you know, General Hospital. We didn't want to sit in there and watch that. So what did we choose to do? We went outside. And guess what? We enjoyed being outside. We didn't have to have a whole bunch of toys, did we? Huh? Because if we didn't have a toy, what do? We made one. And guess what we did? We played with it all day long. And what, none of them digital or electronic. And most of them didn't need no batteries, right? As Christians, we are to be in Christ at all times and walk in the Spirit that we might honor and show our love to God the Father by keeping His commandments. But you got to make a choice. Are you going to be in Christ or out? Just like the people of Noah's day had to make a choice. Are you going to be in the ark or are you going to be outside of the ark? Now, the implications and the ramifications of being in and out are just as grave back in the days of Noah as they are today. Because to be outside of the ark meant judgment and death. To be inside the ark meant life, right? Grace and mercy. Being in Christ is the same way. If you are in Christ, God is extending to you His grace and His mercy through the gift that He has given to us in the person of His Son, Jesus Christ. The scripture I want us to look at is Romans chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. We're going to focus on those because it is now afternoon. It is 8 minutes after noon, so we need to get moving. What shall we say then? And this is from the New American Standard. Are we to continue to sin so that grace may increase or abound? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? Paul had a way, as he wrote, to be the devil's advocate. And he would look at what are some of the possible objections that might be raised as a result of things that he, under the unction of the Holy Spirit, might tell the churches. And there was a certain thing that they were combating back in those days, and it is something that has reared its ugly head from time to time throughout Christianity. All right? We're going to get into that in a minute. So what shall we say about what Paul said? I'm glad you asked. We must go back a few verses to see what Paul was making reference to, and we're going to look at Romans 5, 20 and 21. And this is where we find a heresy that the naysayers back in his day came up with, and it is now known as antinomianism, which is without law. Antinomianism is just one of those isms, and we know that we have been told to stay away from schisms and isms. Is that right? Romans chapter 5, 20 and 21 says, the law came in so that the transgression would increase. But where sin increased, grace abounded all the more, so that as sin reigned in death, even so grace would reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, some people would read that verse, and from that verse, they would say that the law came in so that the transgression would increase, and then they would be like, Ooh, that sounds good to me. The transgression would increase. What does that mean? That sin would increase? So that we would continue to sin so that we could experience more of God's grace? That we would go out and sin on purpose so that we could be the recipients of God's grace? Now, I hope nobody in here saw that way. I hope not. As we look at this, Christ's death, his crucifixion, led to our justification. Christ, the gift of God, paid our sin debt, the wages of sin, giving us the gift of eternal life in exchange for death, which is what we deserved. And that's Romans chapter 6, verse 23. Christ's burial. We have been buried with Christ. Did you know that? We've been buried with Christ. How so? And what was the purpose of that, and what did it accomplish? Well, it makes it possible for us to be dead to sin and free from sin. So you're dead to sin and you're free from sin. If you're dead to something, you ever had somebody say, "I'm dead to you"? Huh? What does that mean? That means they're done with you, right? There's not too much you can say or do to change their mind about it, right? I'm cutting you off, right? Have we ever done that to somebody? I hope not. If you close the door on them completely, that means what? There's no chance of reconciliation. Is that right? There's no chance of reaching that person. But you've heard that said before. So what does that mean? If we are dead to sin and we've been freed from sin, that means the old man or woman, got to be PC nowadays, right? The old man and that old woman, and from here I'm just going to say old man, not just the old man, but the old man's deeds, right? The old man's speech, the old man's desires, and the old man's nouns as well. Take you back to school a little bit. The old man's nouns. What's a noun? People, places, and things, right? The old man's people, places, and things. I was talking with a patient last night, and he was having some concern about his addictions that he had. Alcohol, drugs. And as we began to talk, he realized that in order to be able to have victory over these things, that he was going to have to let go of some people that was encouraging that lifestyle. That he was going to have to stop going to some places where those kind of activities were being done. And that those things that was threatening to take his life, which it did one of his friends who he shared a crib with when he was coming up, as he told me, as he held his friend, tried to do CPR on him, and then watched him take his last breath, it stuck in his mind that, you know what? This can kill me. I could have been out just like my friend is out. I could have been done, and my son and my daughter never would have saw me again. But he came to that realization as we began to talk. And it's the same thing that we have to do, right? That's why the scripture tells us, come out from among them, right? We have to come out, because if we don't, it becomes easy for us to what? Pick up those things that we should have left behind. So I have a question for you. Are you a grave digger or a grave robber? Are you a grave digger or a grave robber? Let me help you with that. Each and every one of us should be a grave digger. And you know what we should put in that grave? You should put the old man, the old man's deeds, the old man's speech, the old man's desires, and the old man's nouns, right? Those nouns. You may have to bury your relationship with certain people. You may have to stop going to certain places and put it in the ground. You may have to let go of some things that need to be put in the ground. And when you dig a grave, what do you with it? You throw some dirt on top of it, right? Now, do you stand around the grave mourning for days, for weeks, for months? Thinking about what you put in the ground? No. You get up and you move on, don't you? Right? And the only way that you can take that which you buried and use it again and do it again is if you go back to it, get the shovel, and dig it up. Huh? Are you a grave robber? Huh? Digging up a grave and taking the contents out of the grave? Don't be a grave robber. Be a grave digger. And then once it's buried, leave it buried. Is that right? Christ's resurrection, a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17, we know it. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new if you are in Christ. You are a new creation, right? You have a new life, community, church of God, right? You have a new life in Christ. Christ's life means that you are dead to sin. That's Romans 6 and 11. You also have newness of life in Christ. That's Romans 6 and 4. And you are ambassadors of Christ, which is 2 Corinthians 5 and 20. So in order to understand the context of Romans 6, 1 and 2, we had to go back as we did. And we're going to talk about this antinomianism. It is a term that refers to a heresy that resulted from an improper interpretation of these verses. Namely, that because of God's abundant grace shown to us and the idea that we should seek to have as much of this grace as possible, that we should continue to sin so that we can experience more and more of God's grace. Does it sound like the Holy Spirit revealed that to somebody or the other spirit? I think it was the other spirit. Namely, this idea of antinomianism, it goes on to say, it went on to espouse the idea that since the flesh is inherently evil and that we are trapped in the flesh, that we can't help ourselves, right? And we have no other choice but to continue in sin so that God's grace can be lavished upon us. The more sin we commit, the more grace we get. Does that even sound right? Does it? Wow. So how does that sound to you? Does it sound right to you? Sound good to you? If it does, I would suggest that at the close of service, that you not walk up here, but that you run as fast as you can. As fast as you can. Every heresy starts with an ungodly and or carnal motive established on a faulty and or false premise. And that's exactly what took place with that. This word antinomianism comes from two Greek words, anti, meaning against, and nomos, meaning law. Antinomianism means against the law. So theologically, antinomianism is the belief that there are no moral laws God expects Christians to obey. And we know that is far from the truth. Antinomianism takes a biblical teaching, such as Galatians 5 and 1, Romans 7, 4 through 6, to an unbiblical conclusion. The biblical teaching is that Christians are not required to observe the Old Testament laws as a means of salvation. That is true. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, he fulfilled the Old Testament law, Romans 10 and 4, Galatians 3, 23 to 25, and Ephesians 2, 15. The unbiblical conclusion is that there is no moral law God expects Christians to obey. Now, Paul dealt with this false teaching in the passages that we are looking at right now, and I read those for you already. God's desire and our desire when we are regenerated by His Spirit is that we strive not to sin. Out of gratitude for His grace and forgiveness, we want to please Him. God has given us His infinite gracious gift in salvation through Jesus Christ. And that's John 3:16 and Romans 5 and 8. Our response is to consecrate our lives to Him out of love, worship, and gratitude for what He has done for us. Antinomianism is unbiblical in that it misapplies the meaning of God's favor. Salvation is something that is by grace through faith. And we know that that's what we find in Ephesians 2, 8, and 10. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. And that last part of that verse is a part that we oftentimes just kind of gloss over. We don't pay a whole lot of attention to that. He created in Christ Jesus, we were created in Christ Jesus for good works. Good works. It was not just that we be saved from a penalty, saved from hell, and it was not just so that we could go to heaven. There's a middle section that we need to be thinking about, and that middle section is sanctification. We like the grace part. That sounds good, doesn't it? The faith part becomes difficult at times for us, and that which is not done in faith is sin. Paul gave an example of this in Romans 14, 21 and 23, and this is something that we need to be able to understand as we think about showing and telling. In Romans 14, 21 and 23, it says, "It is good not to eat meat or to drink wine or to do anything by which your brother stumbles. The faith which you have as your own conviction before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves, but he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because his eating is not from faith, and whatever is not from faith is sin." So what does that mean? God has given us a conscience, hasn't he? He's given you a conscience, he's given you what else? The Holy Spirit, if you're a child of God. If you violate your conscience, no matter what it is, if you have that small, still voice speaking to you and saying, you know what, maybe you ought not do that, and then you turn around and do it anyway, guess what? It just became sin to you. 20 other people could do the same thing. Go to bed, lay their head on a pillow, and have a clear conscience, and it not be sin to them. But if you do something that violates your conscience, it's sin. We need to be mindful of that as we witness to others, right? We have Christian liberties, don't we? But we don't allow our Christian liberty to cause another person to stumble or to fall, right? It is better for us to give up our own Christian liberty so that we not offend a weaker brother, as the scripture says, right? Because he is still one for whom Christ died. So, as we show and tell, we need to be able to realize that it is important not always what we do, but how we do it. It is not always important what we say, but how we say it, because the goal is not to repel people, it is to reach people. Another passage in Titus 1, 15 and 16 reiterates this same concept, and it says, "To the pure, all things are pure, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. But both their mind and their conscience are defiled. They profess to know God, but by their deeds they deny him, being detestable and disobedient and worthless for any good deed." I won't spend a lot of time on that because it's just a supporting verse that basically talks about what we just talked about. So in Romans 6, 12 and 13, it talks about how we need to let Jesus reign and not sin. Who reigns in our life? Who reigns? Somebody who's in authority. A lord does, right? A king, an emperor, they reign, don't they? A conqueror, he reigns. What is reigning in your life? Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its lust, and do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourself to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. So sin in your life should be the exception, not the rule. Did you hear me? Sin in your life should be the exception and not the rule. That means that we should not have a situation where Christians are going around and just dibbling and dabbling in all types of sin, and they devise in their minds ways to do more sin. For what? What's the purpose? So that we can have more of God's grace? No. My desire each day is to use as little grace as possible. I want to use as little mercy as possible because somebody else might need it, right? I don't want to use it all up. Somebody else might need it. So don't let sin reign in your mortal bodies to obey its lust. When it says do not let, that means you have a choice, doesn't it? Are you a victim of circumstance? Are you without hope in the world if you are a child of God? No, you have the hope of glory, and you have Christ as your hope. You also have the Holy Spirit, which enables you to be able to live that godly life that he's calling for. So don't let sin reign in your mortal body. And the way you do that is by not obeying its lust. Sometimes you got to tell your body what? No. You got to say no. Don't do it, right? Now, does that just apply to what? Spiritual things? There's mental, there's physical, and there's spiritual things in your life that you need to practice saying no to, right? I'm not going to drink that sweet drink today. I'm going to drink some water, right? I'm not going to eat those ribs today because my doctor done already told me my cholesterol is through the roof. And no, and body, no, you're not getting it today, right? Ice cream sure sound good right now, but no, I'm not eating no ice cream today. I don't care if they did bake a cake. I'm not eating it, right? I'm not going to sit here in front of this TV all day and watch a whole first season of a show at one sitting because I got other things that I need to be doing. I need to be praying for folks. I need to be calling people. I need to be doing something constructive, right? I'm not going to sit here and play this whole role-playing game from start to finish, that takes 20 hours to finish in one sitting because I got chores to do. I got other things that need to be done. Not to mention I got family members that might want to see me today. They might want to have a conversation with me. There are ways for you to say no to your body. There are ways for you to say no in the mental areas as well. And we need to be saying no to those spirits that we've been trying as well, right? 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 says, try the spirits to see whether they be of God. And you can do that. Now, when the spirit tells you you need to give them a piece of your mind, guess what? That ain't the Holy Spirit, is it? Because you need, that's the other spirit, right? That's that other spirit. When they tell you you need to start speaking French to people, right? And you don't speak French, you know what I'm talking about, right? Them four-letter French words, right? And they start, because I got to get my point across to you, right? Guess what spirit that is, right? That's the other spirit, ain't it? when you're sitting there and they're talking about some dirty jokes, everybody laughing, you got a choice. Do you laugh or do you walk? You got a bail, don't you? Huh? Right? You could just easily sit there and just grin, right? Smirk a little bit. But why don't you make a statement? Not only to them, but now to yourself, right? Because you are training yourself to walk holy and to be holy as He is holy. Don't allow your members to be used as instruments of sin. Do you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? So even though the Bible say, don't say nothing about don't smoke, it don't say don't use crack, it don't say, don't drink a fifth a day, right? It don't say that specifically, does it? Huh? It don't specifically say that, does it? Right? But is it doing your body any good? Are you destroying your liver, your kidney, your pancreas? Are you destroying your heart by what you're doing? Are you destroying the temple, which is to be the Holy Spirit's dwelling place? So it don't have to plainly say things, does it? Right? We need to understand that there are certain things that we should not do. But the Word of God is not a bunch of should not do's only, is it? Because you also have freedom in Christ, don't you? You have freedom what? Not to sin. You have freedom not to have to suffer the consequences of sin, right? You have freedom from sin, which means you are not under bondage. But you ask the people out in the world about that same situation, and they see the other side, don't they? They see it completely opposite. I'm free to do whatever I want to. That's why I go out and I drink and I smoke and I use drugs and I illicit relations with all these people. I'm freer than you are. Are you? You're in bondage. You're in slavery. And the end of it is going to be death. Paul went on in verse 19 of Romans 6 to make it plain. He said, I am speaking in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, resulting in future lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, resulting in sanctification. So when we were without Christ, we presented our members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness. And what was the result of that? If you practice something, what happens? You get good at it, don't you? Huh? The more you practice, the better you get at doing it, right? You even begin to tweak it a little bit, right? And devise other ways to do it even more better than you did before. I know that's the wrong way to say that, but mo better, right? Mo better. Right? I'm just adding emphasis to it, right? Not only do you do it more better, right? But you encourage others to do it more better, right? You encourage others to look at that from a different angle and they say, oh, well, we could do it this way too. Let's do that. Lord, I heard something last night that troubled me. And back in the 70s, I think, and in the 80s, these kids used to do this sniffing stuff. You know, they would take a magic marker and they sniff in that, and paint cans and all this kind of stuff. But I heard something last night about them. They got these vapors now that they can vape alcohol. Just straight up alcohol. They can put it into a little and they can vape it. They can smoke that now. They smoking and drinking separately ain't good enough. Now they got to do it all in one step, right? And they got people dropping like flies. But the devil is on his job, ain't he? His desire is to kill, steal, and to destroy. And he's been practicing for a long time, hasn't he? And he done got good at it, right? But he's got some help, too. because he got the world and the flesh helping him out as well. What we're talking about today is you getting victory over your most formidable foe, right? And that is your own flesh. Your own flesh. We look at the end times, how it is that God takes Satan, binds him in a pit for 1,000 years. Guess what? He ain't influencing nobody down there, is he? Jesus is sitting on the throne, huh? And he got the whole world in his hands. No more wars, no more rumors of wars. Peace in the animal kingdom, peace in nature. No hurricanes, tornadoes, right? The little child can put his hand in the viper's pit, not get bit. Everything, right? I might even get back in the ocean and swim on the back of a shark, right? And don't have to worry about it. But guess what? People will still be being born into this world. And they still will have a free will. And they still will be able to choose to do or to do otherwise. Huh? And what will they choose to do? The same thing they're doing right now. In a perfect society with Jesus sitting on the throne, Satan locked up in jail, and they still will show who they are. And who are they? Dead in trespasses and sin, right? Sinners who are in need of a Savior. The Savior's sitting on the throne and they won't even come to him. But that is to show mankind that the devil didn't make you do it. You can't blame it on him, can you? Because he's locked up. You can't blame it on the world. This world we live in, these times, huh? Well, Jesus is sitting on the throne, right? The only one you have to blame will be yourself. And if we're honest with ourselves today, that's who we have to blame today, isn't it? We can't blame everything on the devil, and we can't blame it all on the world, can we? We need to have control over our flesh. And the only way to do that is with God's help, through the power of the Holy Spirit. We got to practice living holy with God's help. Now, as slaves of righteousness, the result should not be more sin, but rather what? Sanctification. Being set apart from the world, the flesh, and the devil, and living for Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit to the glory of God the Father. And in conclusion, before you can tell someone about the gospel message, you need to show the gospel message in your day-to-day life. Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. He said, "You are our letter, written in our hearts, known and read by all men, being manifested that you are a letter of Christ, cared for by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts." The things that you do and say before others, the example that you lead, the encouragement that you give, the word that you sprinkle, as it were, as seed, and the other person who comes and sprinkles the word again as water, right? That encouragement, right? God brings forth the increase in that person's life because it's being sprinkled on the tablets of human hearts. So in closing, do not be like a Christmas tree that has all of the pretty ornaments on it that are put on and taken off once a year. Looks nice, doesn't it? The 12 days of Christmas, right? Christmas tree. Where did that Christmas tree come from? It came from a box in the attic or the garage or the basement, right? You got it out the day after Thanksgiving, right before you went out to Black Friday, right? You put it up, got it all dressed up, got it looking just so, it's looking nice, right? But it's temporary, isn't it? Because the day after Christmas, guess where it's going? Back in the box, right? Back in the box, along with all those ornaments, right? It looked nice, though, at the time, didn't it? Be a fruit-bearing tree instead, though, right? A fruit-bearing tree that has the fruit of the Spirit growing on it year-round, that is spiritual food for those to whom you are to be a witness. What else is that fruit tree good for? It's got leaves and branches, doesn't it? It offers shade, huh? For those that need shade, right? It offers sanctuary for those that need sanctuary. It offers the word of God, right? Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but what? By every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Showing and telling is our mission, but showing must come before telling. What are you showing your family? What are you showing your neighbors, your friends, your co-workers, clients, and classmates? Your salvation has to do with more than just your justification. Christ already took care of that on the cross, didn't he? Your salvation has to do with more than just your glorification. God the Father is going to take care of that at the resurrection. And those two things you had nothing to do with. But the part you must work out with fear and trembling is sanctification in conjunction with the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the work that you should be doing right now on yourself daily. God is working in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And that's Philippians 2, 12 and 13. If the work has already begun, let it continue. But if not, as I said before, don't walk down here. You need to run. At the close of service, there will be those altar workers who will be down here for you to talk with. I don't know what everybody's situation is spiritually. I don't know if everybody knows Jesus and the pardon of their sins. But I can't think of a more important thing to consider than that. We can consider retirement, 401ks. We can consider mortgages and college, jobs, careers. We can consider all of that. But all those things are temporary. Today, my hope is that your focus is not on those things that are temporal, but those things that are eternal. And if you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, why not today?
We hope you were blessed by today's sermon and encourage you to continually read and apply God's holy word in your life. To learn more about New Life Community Church's vision, mission, resources, and upcoming events, please visit our website at www.nlccpontiac.org. Or you can also follow us on Twitter at NLCC Pontiac. May God richly bless and forever keep you.